from the Jiva Dharma. I'm not sure the chapter, but the chapter title is Kriya, it is Shakti Tattva. Okay, so read. Vrajanath, how can he remain Nirvikara when he works according to his independent desire? Indeed, to be possessed of independent desire, Sva Ichha Maya, means that he experiences Vikara. Om Jnanati Murandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Daksu Unmutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Vano Vishtam Kapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kaupa Turubhyascha Vipashindu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Dhyadvaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is chapter 13, and Jiva Dharma. We've been following the wonderful story, I guess I repeat it again and again, I'll make it as short as possible, of the novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur of devotees, people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Lord Chaitanya, who are generally in proximity to the place of Lord Chaitanya's birth, which is Navadvip, Siddhar Mayapur. And, you know, this novel brings us down, you know, if you can look at a Google map, and it brings us down to this one of the islands called Gojumdweep, where there are great paramahamsas, great perfected souls. And according to a person's attachments and doubts, the person requires a different subject of Krishna consciousness to be clarified. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by this ingenious novel, has all the subjects, all the tattvas of Krishna consciousness systematically expressed. Especially important is the particular person we're following now, who is, his name is Vrajanath, because what's going to happen now is we're going to follow how his doubts become cleared and he achieves a type of perfection. So by following his life, we follow the systematic teachings of Krishna consciousness directly. And we see how he advances by having his doubts removed. Prabhupada said doubts are like demons. When you have doubt, you can't move. You can't be determined. You can't make effort. And learning and practicing Krishna consciousness takes some understanding and takes some effort. Anyway, in this particular story, somehow or other, and those who've been following this story, this logician, this great logician, becomes attracted to Lord Chaitanya, who was a scholar and a logician before he met his guru and became transformed. So by studying Lord Chaitanya as a logician, he came in contact with the wonderful character of Lord Chaitanya, and he became transformed into a great devotee, and now we're following as he's becoming enlightened by having his doubts cleared by someone who is extremely learned, who is an associate of Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishna Das Kaviraj. And after they passed away, he moved to Navadvip, and he's a renowned Vaishnava scholar. Vaishnava scholar means your scholarship is not a tool of self-promotion. It's a tool of transformation for yourself and others. And the fruits of your knowledge are like very heavy fruits, which actually bend a tree. So the real fruit of knowledge and realization is that one actually becomes humble. It's when you have knowledge and you apply it, you realize that you see God, you see yourself, and you understand your complete dependence on God. And you love God. And you don't want God's position. You want to be the servant of God. And it's not just intellectually understood. It's something that one actually realizes deep in one's heart. And feels the greatness of God. One looks at the universe and sees that everything is God, and sees that he's one particle of consciousness of God. An infinitesimal particle of consciousness of the Supreme Absolute Hope. That there's one infinite, infinite infinitesimals. So he asks about what Lord Chaitanya taught, and Raghunath Das Babaji, the saint that's enlightening him, said that he only gave 8 verses, but that these verses have been the subject of the Sikshasakam, which is the complete philosophy of Krishna consciousness espoused in 8 verses by Lord Chaitanya, that they have been delineated into 12, into 10 root philosophical points, which is called the Dasa Mula. So he asks that this Dasa Mula be explained. And he's asking now about the, I don't know if he asked about the first two, but he asked about, maybe he did in the last. I don't remember. But anyway, he's asking about the third Dasamula, the Shamula. And he wants it explained. Because Raghunath Das Babaji said, tomorrow I'll explain you the third Dasamula. And it's about Shakti, Shakti Tattva. So, well, here Raghunath Das Goswami delineates Shakti Tattva. I kind of skipped ahead because I think it's just too, the medium of speaking on a phone conference, I think combined with the limited time and effort I have to actually delve into the subject and memorize everything in these long philosophical discourses, I don't think it's probably the best way to present it. So I'm going to just summarize. I did go over it about Shakti Tattva, and then we'll continue from where I see. He reads the third Dasamula, which explains that God is not different from his potencies. And his chief potency, the Parashakti, which is also known as the Sarup Shakti, it has three aspects. The Chit Shakti, the spiritual potency, the Jiva Shakti, the marginal potency, and the Maya Shakti, the external potency. And then he has three other prominent potencies, which is the Sandini Shakti, the existential potency, the Sambit Shakti, the cognitive potency, and the Ladini Shakti, which is the pleasure potency. This is the basic fundamental composition of Shakti. And then the Sarup, the Chit Shakti, the spiritual potency, it is combined with the Sandini, Sambit, and Ladini, and similarly the Jiva Shakti and the Maya Shakti. Like the Ladini Shakti and the Ladini Shakti combines for the Maya Shakti, it becomes material pleasure. When it combines with the Jiva Shakti, it becomes Brahman realization. And when it combines with the Chit Shakti, it becomes Krishna Prem, love of Godhead. In this way, they're all divided in that way. But Vrajanath, because he's a logician and he knows what other people think, he really wants him to deal with the point that the Lord has no Shakti. And all energy apparently emanating from the Lord is an illusion, and that when one becomes enlightened, he sees that there's one undifferentiated reality that's nirvishesh, that has absolutely no quality. And Raghunath Das Babaji then refutes this from the Upanishads, the philosophical sections of the Vedas, where he quotes one famous verse, Parasya Shaktir Vividaya Shruyate, that the Lord has unlimited potencies. And then he quotes from the Svetashvatara Upanishads about those Shaktis, about the Chit Shakti, and there's verses about the Jiva Shakti, and there's verses about the Maya Shakti. So in this way, this verse explains that there is even Shakti in the Shuk, Paratattva, the supreme absolute reality, in its highest stage, according to this Svetashvatara Upanishads, as Shakti. And then he makes a point that the personal manifestation of the Paratattva is called Bhagavan, and the Nirvishesha manifestation is called Brahma, but nowhere in the Vedas is the supreme absolute reality described as without Shakti. And then he describes how Brahman is Savishesh, Savishesha. It's filled with distinction of qualities. And he quotes again, it's all Svetashvatara Upanishads. He quotes so many verses. And now he's discussing the point. Well, there's one point discussed before. So I'll just explain. We'll read now, and I think it's interesting because this point, if desire exists in Brahman, then it means that Brahman Vikara experiences a transformation. And the conception is that something which transforms can't be eternal, because it doesn't have one set reality, and therefore, that because there is one set ultimate reality, then any transformation of it must be an illusion. It must be an illusion, because it means then that it's not, there has to be a set reality which is not changing. And if something is changing, it's not eternal. And because the absolute reality must be eternal, it must be unchanging. So this is the basis, really, of Mayavadi conception, personal conception. If something is eternal, it can't be changing. Once it's changed, and it's changing, it's not eternal. What's eternal is that which is not changing. And because there is an absolute reality that's eternal, it must be unchanging. So this is basically what Vrijanath wants cleared. And it's a very subtle point, but it's the basis of Mayavadi philosophy. And Babaji says, Nirvikara means to be free from any illusory material transformations. So when it says it's Nirvikara, it's without transformation, it means material transformation. Maya is the shadow of the Sarup Shakti. The work of Maya is reality, but it is not an eternal reality. Well, I'm going to have to read every sentence and meditate on it. The work of Maya is reality, but it is not an eternal reality. Because the work of Maya means things are constantly changing. So the changes are temporary. So it's the same point I made. It's not an eternal reality. And thus the defect of Maya is not present in the Paratattva. So that kind of transformation cannot be there in the Paratattva. He said the vikara, this is so important, it may be a little difficult to listen, the vikara that is present in Srihari in the form of his desire and pastimes is nothing but the highest manifestation of praying. If the whole basis of God is God must have inconceivable potency. Why can't it be an eternal reality which has love, and love is a transformation, and God has the basic principle of God is that it has inconceivable potencies, and therefore it changes and it doesn't change, like the sun is the same, so much heat and light is coming from the sun, but the sun is the same. And therefore, in the Sri Isha Upanishads, it presents Om Pranami Dham Pranami Dham Purnat 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 Purnat. The Supreme Personality of God is perfect and complete, and therefore, even though so many units emanate from him, he remains a complete balance. God has inconceivable potencies. So, in the second verse of Isha Upanishads, Tadajati, Tadnayajati, Tadgure, Tadvantike, Tadantarati, Sarvasyata, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he walks and he doesn't walk. He's near and he's far. By definition, God has inconceivable potencies. And therefore, we can't bring God to conform to the laws of this world. If you want to ascribe and judge God by the laws of this world, you'll come up with you won't understand God. if God is not subject to that. Such wonderful manifestations of transcendental variegatedness are present in Advayam Gyan. Advayam Gyan means the absolute reality is consciousness, which is non-dual. So the changes happen within a non-dual reality, which means a reality that's inclusive of everything and is never changing. Bhagavan, in spite of creating the material world by his desire through his Maya Shakti, his chit nature remains in eternal, unbroken existence. Maya has no connection with the astonishing, variegated lila of Bhagavan in the spiritual world. However, jivas whose intelligence has been rendered dull by the influence of Maya think that the wonderful variegatedness of the spiritual world is just an illusory work of Maya. Do they believe that God has transformed? If you believe that God has shaktis or energies, you believe he has personality, you believe he has, if you believe he has pastimes, then it must be a product of illusion, because God is nirvikara, he's not transforming. So he says a jiva whose intelligence has been dulled comes to this conclusion. One who suffers from jaundice sees everything yellow, and one whose eyes are covered by cloud perceives the sun also to be covered by cloud. Similarly, those with mayic intelligence imagine that transcendental names, forms, quality, and pastimes are also mayaka. The purport is that Maya Shakti is a shadow of Chit Shakti, so the variegatedness found in the spiritual activities is also reflected in the workings of Maya. The variegatedness seen in Maya Shakti is an inferior reflection or shadow of the variegatedness found in Chit Shakti. So although these two types of variegatedness are apparently similar to each other, they are actually completely opposite. Superficially, a person's reflection in a mirror appears the same as his body. However, with careful examination, they are seen to be exactly the opposite. But one is the body and the other is the reflection. The body's various parts appear opposite in their reflection. The left hand appears on the right side and the right hand on the left. The left eye appears on the right side and the right eye on the left. Similarly, the variegatedness of the spiritual world and that of the material world appear superficially the same. So you see, because the change in the material world, although the material energy is eternal, the change is temporary. But all change in the absolute reality is eternal. Just like Krishna is killing a demon, it's an eternal reality. He's Putna, it's an eternal reality. It's always existing. It's just like the sun is, you know, let's say it's at noon, but one place is at 1 o'clock. And basically speaking, the sun is always at noon. It's always at 1 o'clock. It's always at midnight. From a particular perspective on the planet, the sun is simultaneously in all parts of time. And similarly, God's pastimes are like that. They all exist eternally. Therefore, although there is some apparent similarity, there are nonetheless differences in essence. That independent supreme person who works by his own sweet will is the controller of Maya. He is free from any Mayaka transformation, and through Maya, he fulfills his purposes. Next question is extremely interesting. Prajana, which of Krishna's Shaktis is Srimati Radhika? I said I always wanted to study this for a while. I haven't been able to a while and review this to understand that with a relationship with all the Shaktis. And it's going to explain that Radha is the Purna Shakti. Sri Krishna is the complete Shaktiman Tattva, and Srimati Radhika is his complete Shakti. Really what exists is Radha and Krishna. Shaktiman, possessor of energy, and Shakti. So it's like the rose and its scent. They're one, but one, they're one in one sense, but one is possessing the scent, and one is the scent. So there's a rose that's possessing all the qualities, and then there are qualities that are manifesting from the rose. So Krishna is Shaktiman, and Radha is Shakti. She may be called the complete Sarup Shakti. She's the Parashakti, the supreme Shakti, so that they can enact and relish their Leela. Radhika and Krishna are eternally separate, but they are also eternally inseparable, just as musk and its scent are mutually inseparable. The fire and the heat cannot be separate from each other. It's one absolute reality that has Shaktiman, the possessor of energies, and Shakti. And that Shakti is Radha, who's also known as the Sarup Shakti. That Sarup Shakti, Radhika, has three kinds of activity. Kriya Shakti. They are known as Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, and Maya Shakti. So the Jiva is a Shakti, a Kriya Shakti, a potency of activity of Radha. The Chit Shakti, that's the spirit, is also called the internal potency. Antaranga Shakti, Maya Shakti is called the external potency, Bahiranga Shakti, and the Jiva is called the marginal potency, Tathasta Shakti. Although Sri Sarup Shakti is one, she acts in these three ways. All the eternal characteristics of Sarup Shakti are completely present in the Chit Shakti. So, interesting. So the original Shakti, which has three kinds of potency, it has a spiritual world, the living entity, and Maya. Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, Maya Shakti. So all of the three Shakti is one, she acts in these three ways. So the Sarup Shakti, which is Radha, acts in three ways. Acts as Jiva, acts as Maya, acts as internal potency. It acts as the internal potency, the external potency, and the marginal potency. All the eternal characteristics of the Sarup Shakti are completely present in the Chit Shakti, present to a minute degree in the Jiva Shakti, and present in a distorted way, the Maya Shakti. So that original spiritual potency, completely present in the internal potency of the Chit Shakti, minutely present in the living entity, and completely distorted in the Maya Shakti. Apart from these three kinds of Kriya Shakti, potency of activity I've described, Sarup Shakti also has three other types of manifestation, named Ladini, Sandini, and Sambit. So basically it says that the Sarup Shakti has six main potencies, six manifestations, the Jiva, the spiritual world, the material world, pleasure potency, the existential potency, and the cognitive potency. Now they go on to the next, Dashamula. It's some Sanskrit. So I'll read it. There are three functions of Swarup Shakti: Madini, Sandini, and Samvit. Due to the influence of Madini Shakti, Krishna perpetually is immersed in the pranaya vikara. I mean, that means transformations of love. Because of the confidential bhavas invoked, this, you know, this translation is sometimes they just keep in the Sanskrit. So I'm really not in this. Let me just read this. I think it's interesting. It's about Radha. Let me just read this to finish it, and then I'll comment. The three functions of the Swarup Shakti, there are three, Madini, Sandini, and Samvit. Due to the influence of Madini Shakti, Krishna remains perpetually immersed in the Pranaya Shakti, I think transformations of love. Because of the confidential bhavas invoked by the Samvit Shakti, he is ever situated as Rasika Shekhar, relishing new and newer Ras, that supreme independent pastime prince, Sri Krishna, is ever drowned within the ocean of Vrajaras in his transcendental bliss-filled abodes, headed by Vrindavan, which are manifest through the Sandini Shakti. So the Ladini Shakti manifests the love. It says the Samvat Shakti manifests. Seems like it says Krishna is the enjoyer of that love. And the Sandini Shakti manifests the abode of love, Vrindavan. The purport is that the three aspects of Swarup Shakti, namely Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit, completely influence all activities of Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, and Maya Shakti. So the spiritual world has a pleasure potency, an existential potency, and a cognitive potency. And that was just described. That the Ladini Shakti creates the prema or love, Samvit Shakti manifests the form of Krishna, and the Sandini Shakti manifests the spiritual world. So it describe how those same three divisions influence Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti. Ladini Vritti of the Swarup Shakti. Vritti means Chitta Vritti, the transformation of the Ladini Shakti. As Srimati Radhika, the daughter of Vrishabhanu, gives full transcendental bliss and enjoyment to Krishna. Srimati Radhika is the embodiment of Mahabhav. She gives happiness to Krishna in her own transcendental form, and she also eternally manifests eight bhavas as the principal sakis, her gopi friends, who are direct expansions of her own Swarup. Besides that, she manifests her four different types of service moods, as the four different types of sakis, namely Priya Sakhi, Narma Sakhi, Prana Sakhi, Paraprasya Sakhi. All these sakis are Nitya Siddha sakis within the transcendental world. So by the Ladini Shakti, seems to manifest Radha. And she then expands into her eight main gopis. And there's four moods of the different gopis, which will be described. The Samvit Shakti of the Swarup, the Samvit Vritti of the Swarup Shakti manifests all the various Sambandha Bhavs within Vraja. So the different types of relationships come from the Samvit transformation of the Swarup Shakti. So there's a Ladini transformation of the Swarup Shakti, and it manifests Radha and all her gopis, and the Samvit manifests the various types of relationships, and the Sandini Vritti the existential potency transformation of the Shroop Shakti manifests everything in Vajra that consists of water, earth, and so on, such as the villages, forest gardens, Giri Govardhan, which are places of Krishna's pastimes. It also manifests all the other transcendental objects used in Krishna's pastimes, as well as the transcendental abode of Sri Radhika, bodies of Radhika, Sri Krishna, the Sakis, the Sakas, cows, dasis, and so on. Sri Krishna is always happily situated in the bliss of the pranayaya quality of Ladini, that's the love of Ladini Shakti, and he relishes the pranaya ras, embracing the various bhavas manifested by Ladini Vritti through the samvritti Vritti of his Parashakti or Shukshakti. Krishna performs activities such as attracting the gopis by playing on his vamsi, taking the cows out for grazing, vasli, and other pastimes. Sri Krishna, who is Vrajavilas, always remains immersed in rasa in his transcendental dham, which is manifest by his sandini potency. Amongst all the abodes of his pastimes, the abode of his Vraja pastimes is sweetest. So basically, because I don't really figure out all these details, what he's explaining is that the three main shaktis, the chit shakti, the internal potency, the jiva shakti, the marginal potency, maya shakti, the external potency, are influenced by transformations, Ladini transformation of the Shroop Shakti, the Sandit transformation of the Shroop Shakti, and the Sandini. So when you apply it to the Chit Shakti, the internal potency, the Sandini transformation of the Shroop Shakti manifests the spiritual world, and the Samvit Vritti of the Shroop Shakti, it manifests knowledge of one's relationship with Krishna. So this is what explains. I'm going to read on just this. Is the Lindini Vritti is always present in the Jiva in the form of Brahmanda, spiritual bliss. Samvit Vritti in the form of Brahmagyan, transcendental knowledge. And the Sandini Vritti in presence of the Jiva's Mayanite form. Maya Shakti, the Ladini Vritti of the Shroop Shakti, is manifest in the form of mundane pleasure. The Samvid Vritti is manifest in the form of material knowledge. And the Sandini Shakti is manifest in the form, the entire universe, which consists of the 14 planetary systems, the material bodies of the Jivas. So it was a little technical. I learned a lot myself. I revised what I did. I don't know how clear it was, but if anyone would like to ask a question, they're more than welcome.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Atmananda here.
Atmananda, Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna. My question is sometimes the way that the Krishna Prem is described. That is the dormant in the jiva, in the buddha jiva, and then through the chanting of Cheto Darpana Marginam, then that eternal prem comes out. But from this description here, it appears that the prem is coming from Radha, or from the Swarup Shakti, and it's not like present in the Bodha Jiva, but then, you know, through the influence of the Swarup Shakti, like through that combination, then the prem is there.
Right. I've been just meditating on this all day today, not even from this, but from teaching, from reviewing the section on Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because it appears to say that according to your association and the practices you adopt, you get a particular destination, right? Where it seems that Prabhupada Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati say that you get a particular destination, you know, according to your nature. I heard one commentator, maybe it was in the IMR, say that Ananda Kanda, Kana, that there's a particle of the Sarup Shakti somehow within the, you know, Jiva or something like that. You know, the only way I can reconcile it is that we're eternally the servants of Krishna and we have a desire to serve. And we may even have a nature to serve in a particular way. But it can never manifest unless, and by that desire, it has to attract the internal potency of Krishna. But until you attract that internal potency of Krishna, you can't fully awaken your relationship with him. So maybe there's a potentiality in the soul for a particular relationship with Krishna. Just maybe as in a young girl, right? The potentiality for sex desire is there, but it hasn't manifest until she's matured. But maybe in the same way, definitely you require the energy of God to fully manifest your relationship with Krishna. It even describes that when the Samvit Ladini Shakti descends, then the consciousness becomes one with that and manifests your eternal relationship with Krishna. So you definitely need something external to actually have that full mature feeling. What's there internally? I would guess that what's there eternally, at least according to what indicated by the Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is the somehow latent potentiality for that. Prabhupada describes like a child walking, you know, and then by practicing to walk, it comes out. But it seems that something else is required, and maybe it's like that. Just like you know, the sex desire is there in a young child, but they require you know, some at a particular time, some hormones to develop or something. So even though it was potentially there, it required something else. So it seems that that's how I would reconcile it.
Thank you.
For that question. Thank you for that question. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, then we're going to finish for today. Thank you.